centre and coming in as Loeb. Milledyke centered it.
Going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, let's get things going this hour on Flames Talk. It is Monday, October 7th, and in 2024, Monday, October 7th, is also roster cutdown day around the NHL. Rosters needed to be down to size at 3 o'clock Calgary time, and they are. That includes Calgary's 23-player roster, which is set on this Monday. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. It's Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you, and with today being roster day around the league, we are happy to welcome the general manager of the Calgary Flames, Craig Conroy, to Flames Talk this hour here in the Hot Stove Lounge and the Scotiabank Saddle. Mr. Conroy, how are we doing?
Good, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How overall, all of the uncertainty and all that type of stuff, now that your 23-player roster is set, at least for the next little bit, you know what your team's going to look like. What is today like from a GM standpoint?
You know, it's today's a good day because you get to talk to some guys that actually made the team, and they're going to have their first game hopefully in a couple days. So, you know, now you know what your team looks like. You're ready to go. You get out there for the first practice and gear up to get ready for Vancouver. I mean, that's the goal. We want to be focused, ready to go. But there was a lot of good life in the locker room, and then out on the ice today. I like the practice.
Let's start with what I think is clearly kind of the story of training camp, and that's Sam Hanzek. And here he is. There was a lot of talk out there about, you know, what were the Flames thinking selecting this guy in the first round? And then right from the beginning of the preseason in Seattle, Sam Hanzek kind of turned himself into a positive story to the point that he's going to make his NHL debut almost certainly on Wednesday night. Just can you give us a thought on Sam making the team, what it tells you about the virtue of patience and how players develop at different rates and all that type of stuff?
Well, it's such a good lesson for everybody to learn that, hey, you know, everybody isn't going to be able to come in here and do what Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, certain guys that have just come in the league, and it's an easy game for them. So, you know, everybody's got their own time schedule, but we have to be patient. We have to make sure we put them in the right situations. And, you know, and then the guys have to eventually do it themselves. And the one thing about Sam was, you know, last year he comes in, the draft year is the worst year because you can't train in the summer. You're busy from the combine to right to the draft to our development camp. And then it's just a lot. And if you're on any of the national programs, again, you're doing all that too. So there's really no time to really train and get ready. And I think to Sam's, to say what he did this summer, to go in with Marty and he lived with him and trained with him, and, you know, really they pushed each other, and it's amazing. And then to have him come in and, you know, he tests so well. When he did the testing, you know, that was a good sign for me right off the bat. Before we got to Penticton, before we did anything, stepped on the ice, I'm thinking, okay, he's in good shape. Like,
yep,
this will be fun to watch to see how he does. And then, you know, going through Penticton, and again, that's still what I like about Penticton, and like playing a couple of those games, is you can get up to speed a little bit because it does take a little bit. So he got those three games in, and then he came in and he was ready to go for training camp, the big one.
How much was him cracking the roster on your radar once main camp began? Like, was that something that you had in the back or front of your mind? I know for us on the outside, it definitely wasn't hitting our radars, but I'm just curious, you know him better than we do. You're the guy who drafted him. I'm just curious as to what your feel on him was as we entered training camp.
Well, I told you to be patient, Pat. You were all over him. And
hey, hold on 1 second. I was not at any point all over him.
Well, I felt like it. I just wanted people to let him play. Let's see what he can do. And it went great for him. He had a great camp, but it could have gone, you know, just an okay camp. But he was taking steps in the right direction, and that's what we have to do. It's not just, you know, we want everyone to, like I said, just be a superstar. Well, that doesn't happen. You got to kind of work your way in, and maybe you start on the fourth line and move yourself up to third, second, first. I mean, that's, you know, that's the way a lot of guys have to do it. And some people are just going to be fourth line and then that's it. But, you know, with Sam, I think the one thing I like about Sam, he's a very nice person. Like, you know, he's a little quiet, but I could tell he had a different app, you know, he just felt more comfortable.
Yeah.
I could see him talking more. He was more in with the group. He knows the players. He knows what's going on. He's been through a camp. He's played against NHL players. So it's not like, wow, there's Connor McDavid out there, or there's, you know, Pettersson, or he wasn't like that, you know, and he knew he had to battle. The one thing we stressed was you're a big body. You can skate well. You need to battle and win battles. Wasn't stressing points or anything like that, but you need to win those battles, use your speed, make it tough on opposing D, and we're going to try to get you some penalty kill time, which was something that, you know, it was fun for me to see that Ryan talked about it, but actually put him in those situations. Yeah.
In my defense, I was pushing the "it's only been 15 months" narrative while we were in Penticton, so I just, you know, to defend myself on
that. You mentioned to me somewhere outside, well, you know, I didn't, just an okay first game. You didn't love his first game.
I did like his second game, though.
I know you did, but it was after the first game we talked.
I might have to put a referee jersey or something on here.
Yeah, I ran into him at Subway.
Oh, you're the Subway guy.
Yeah, I ran into him. There's a Subway right across from the Ramada, and Pat was in, so I sat down with Pat, and, you know, but Pat does a great job. He wants people to be really good, really fast.
I did want Zane Parekh to play all 82 games. It's a fair point. It's a fair point by you.
While you know, Pat and the masses were getting wound up about Sam Honzek, like, what gave you optimism? What did you look at and say, okay, I know other people maybe don't see it yet, but we believe in this kid? What was there?
Well, his skating. So his speed, his size, and his skating, really. And we don't talk about the skill or anything, but just to see him the way he tests the fastest on the speed bike, for being a young guy, it's only going to get better. And it wasn't, you know, wasn't the fastest on, you know, at the rookie thing. Yeah, it was the fastest. But I'm thinking, I know what the test scores usually look like, and that might compete for the top guy in the NHL, like with the big guys. And sure enough, he won it all, you know. So, and his test scores were very good, you know. It just showed how much he was able to do from 1 year to the next. That was the most promising thing. And then, like I said, to see him have the confidence, to see him kind of take control and talking to people, you know, he's already been Penticton once. Now he's the second year, feels that much more comfortable, feels more comfortable in the locker room, and, you know, still very quiet, you know, but seemed like he was enjoying it, having fun and being with the guys. And then, and it doesn't hurt to play well right out of the gate, you know, and build that confidence. Yeah. And he really did.
Talk about Matt Coronato being on this opening day roster as well. Second year in a row that Matt makes the team out of training camp. I know it's a little bit less of a big story than it was last year, because he was kind of last year's Honzek, being that guy all throughout camp. But for him to be on your 23-player roster to start the year, how significant is that?
Well, I think it's important. I mean, we talked about the first training camp. If you played well, we want you to take a job, you know, and I think Matt did. He had a great start, had a little injury there when we were in Abbotsford, so he couldn't finish that game. And then, you know, the last game maybe wasn't quite where, you know, he did a lot of good things, but, you know, you're like, it's the board battles. It's the little things that we're paying attention to. And for him to come in and now have that confidence that, okay, I'm here again, you know, and that's the thing. If you're in the lineup, you're not in the lineup. If you're in practice every day, we see you, the coaches see you. That's your thing. You got to be the hardest worker. And you kind of saw him in that practice day. He never stopped moving his feet, shooting the puck, doing all the little things. And he wants to say, hey, I'm here and I want to play, which is pushing everyone else. We want young guys to push everyone else.
Adam Klapka got into a few NHL games last year, and now, like, he maybe not getting the same type of fanfare, but it's a pretty big deal for a guy who had never been in this side of the world and jumped over here, played a couple Penticton's, and now here he is starting a season in the NHL for a guy you didn't draft, a guy that was found as a free agent. It's a pretty cool story for Klapka too, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, again, he's another guy that just comes to work every day, trains, stays over here in the summer. And he wants to be a player and he wants to do everything. He's always asking questions. He always wants to make himself, what can I do? How do I get better? What do I need to do to stay in the NHL? And I think that's what you saw in the games. He brings an identity, especially to that fourth line, that, you know what, big, he finishes his checks. He goes to the front of the net. He's got a sneaky hard shot. You know, I think that's what people maybe, you know, don't know. He's got better skill and his shot is really sneaky hard. So, you know, scored some goals early for us and just plays the right way. You know, he back checks, he'll block shots, he'll stick up for his teammates. You know, all those things you need to do to kind of to make a team.
What can you tell us about Yegor Sharangovich? He starts the year on IR, lower body injury. What can you tell us about, you know, prognosis and just the overall situation where it stands right now?
You know, I think it's not as bad as we thought. We were hoping for a little better news. So, I mean, I do think it's a week-to-week thing, and depending upon how he feels, you know, he would look so good in the, you know, he was just playing so well, looking, moving so well, and, you know, it's going to be a huge loss, especially on the power play, and you know, you watch the shootouts at the end of the thing, he's so deadly that if you got into overtime and you got into the shootout, you're really going to miss him. But, again, we're gonna make sure Sharky is back 100%. We don't want to rush him too quick. With that said, I know we all want him back as soon as possible. But, yeah, I think it's going to be something, you know, he feels comfortable and he feels like it's going to just not super long, but hopefully, you know, we can get him back here sooner than later.
No, so just rest and recover. No surgery or anything?
Nope, no surgery. Just got to rehab it and get him back and get him back to full strength where he feels comfortable on the ice.
We're chatting with Craig Conroy, Calgary Flames general manager. The 23-player roster is set on this Monday. It's Flames Talk with Pat and Wes.
Craig, I think a lot of people had their iPhone alarm set for about 11:59 today. Oh, I got to go on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it and check the waiver news. What's the 24-hour period like for a general manager? You obviously had three guys on starting yesterday at noon Mountain. What's that period like for a GM?
You know, it's even starts before that when you talk to the guys and tell them, you know, they're going to be going on waivers. And you're just trying to explain to them why, what the situation is. And, you know, for all three, we were hoping all three were going to get down. You know, you just never know. You know, nobody's telling you behind the scenes, hey, we will do whatever. But, you know, I think the one thing is, as you're talking even from last year all the way through training camp this year, so you know it's over, you know who likes players, who has interest in players, who we talk about, and then you get a feel where the interest level is out there, you know, and it might have been last deadline, it might be, you know, a week ago or a day ago, and then you kind of have a sense if people are going to get through or not get through, you know. So the one thing you know, you always want to do what's best for the players, though.
Let's start with Cole Schwind. He gets claimed by the Vegas Golden Knights. We heard Ryan Huska say, you know, it stings because we just don't have a lot of right-handed centers in our system. What was your reaction to finding out that Cole hadn't passed through?
I had a bad feeling going in. I mean, because, again, like when we do talk to teams were looking for centers and, you know, the one thing we wanted to keep Cole, that was the, you know, was it, you know, so you just kind of, you're feeling everything out and you're thinking, okay, this might be the time. There's going to be, you know, the last day there'll be quite a few players on and hopefully we can sneak them through and get them in. And obviously, you know, teams with injuries and needed centers, which there's more than a few in the NHL right now, decided Vegas decided to take a chance and pick them up.
there's been lots of talk around this city, as you're well aware, about Jacob Pelche. You and I had this conversation earlier today when we chatted for my post-media duties, but I'll ask you to repeat yourself here. What made it worth the risk to put Jacob on waivers and want to get him through to the Wranglers?
Well, the first thing is wanting him to play. Wanting him to play, wanting him to get back that swagger and that Jacob Pelche, you know, dog out of a bone, making plays, winning little battles, doing what he does best. And I think last year with the injury right away in the first preseason game, comes back, Trouba hits him in the Ranger game, and it just seemed like he never could get on track last year. He could never get on track. And, you know, the camp, I thought the Winnipeg game was his best game. But with that said, when you're looking at the lineups, to have him maybe be the extra guy, and I know, you know, you're always talking asset management and you want to do what's right, but part of that is also making sure the asset and the player are the best they can possibly be. And the best thing for Jacob is to play games, not to sit and watch games and practice. And you know how that is with coaches. If, you know, it goes a little longer than people would like, well, there's someone that's been playing in the American League, maybe we just bring him up for the game and then you might get passed in there. And that's the concern. So, you know, I know Jacob wants to be in the NHL, believes he should be in the NHL, but now having him clear, he can go down, play some games and get his game back to where we think it should be. And then, you know, he'll get that opportunity.
I understand, like, it's fresh. And so maybe this conversation hasn't happened, but you know, I'm sure, and you played a long time, so you could put yourself in these shoes. Like, being on waivers must be a bit of a confidence shot to somebody. And so how do you, you know, I suppose, pass on, or how do you sort of reinforce, hey, we still believe in you. We still believe in you as a player. This is why we had to do this.
Yeah, I mean, we told them yesterday in our meeting, we love you as a player. You know, some other guys played well in camp. And he said, I understand. I get that. He goes, I still think I'm an NHL player. And I said, I get that. But I said, we also need you playing. And you need to go down and be the best player on the team in the American Hockey League if you get through. You know, and we're hoping you're still part of this. And we do this together. So it wasn't, you know, you never really think as a GM you're going to lose any player. It's all about what's best for the player. Get him down, get him playing, get him to where he's feeling really good, and then, you know, there's opportunities up here.
Mm-hmm. A few more with Craig Conroy, GM of the Flames. Okay, so that's kind of the news of the day and all of what has gone on getting to your 23-player roster today. Just overall, like, what's your excitement level like for this group as we're talking, we're a little more than 48 hours away from you kicking off the season?
I'm excited. I mean, I think what I love the most about it right now is the energy level that the team has. And, you know, people were like, why is everybody clapping down there? Because we gave the jerseys out to the three new guys. And,
yeah.
You know, everybody's genuinely having fun and excited and can't wait to get going. And I felt like last year, I mean, I think we know there was a lot of, I guess, a black cloud. What's going to happen with this player? It was so many negative things going around the city, which is unfair to this city. I mean, it's a great place to play. It's an amazing place to have a family, and I can't say enough. I mean, I love it here. I've been here a long time now, but I think, you know, for whatever reason, last year was just one of those years where it was a lot of UFAs, uncertainty, yep, what was going to go on, and it led to a poor start. That's why I'm like optimistic and looking forward to seeing how this starts. Your guess is as good as mine, but I like the way the feel in the room, the way the guys are sticking together. You look at the two goaltenders, they're competing. They're having fun. They're enjoying themselves. I mean, Cooley played amazing too. The three of them, it's tough, you know, to kind of say, but again, it's preseason. Who's the number one guy? Who's going to take it? They're all going to try to do it. And that's what I like. Game in and game out, they're going to want to prove I'm the guy. And I think that's with the young players. They all want to prove they're NHL players. They want to stay not one game, not five games, all 82 games. And to do that, if the team's having success and you're helping contribute, and it's not points. It isn't always points. It could be a penalty kill. Mm-hmm. It could be block shot. Whatever it is, it's about winning the game, you know, and that's what we'll see. And there's going to be some good games and bad games like there usually is, but we want to be competitive every night. And we want to go in with the right attitude. And I think this group really has a great attitude right now. And we'll see what happens on Wednesday. But I'm really looking forward to it.
The one of the things that you said right from the get-go was you want to get younger and you want to see if you can get younger players more of an opportunity to play. We saw that at work all year last year. Is that same philosophy as you go into year two as GM? And do you feel like when you see Hanzek, Klapka, Coronado, there's three guys that make this opening night roster, right? Do you feel like that trend has continued as you get set to open year two?
Well, we're trying to. I mean, you know, it's the NHL. You just can't give. They need to earn it. And I think all those guys are.
Yeah, you don't just make a roster because you're under the age of 23, right?
No, you have to, you know, it's a puzzle, you know, and you're putting the pieces, how does it all fit together? And the one thing we always want to know what these players can do, what they can't do, but they just get more and more comfortable. I mean, as you play in the NHL, you just get the travel, you know, the way the schedule is, the cities, the refs, you know, everything, you know, you start to feel more comfortable. When you do that, you become a better player, you know? So you have to get these guys in the lineup and get them that experience to let them and to see if they can do it. The next step is they have to do it, you know, and that's what we're evaluating on, but we don't want to, you know, they have a bad game. Oh, he should be gone. You know, we're right. Looking for the long, you know, we want to be, everyone has bad games. Everybody has good games. So we just want to kind of stay even keel, watch it and see what they are doing better. And, you know, I think the one thing we look, if they're not winning puck battles, hey, we got to win more puck battles. We got to get pucks out on the wall. If you're a winger, if you're a defenseman, you know, maybe you need to be a little bit more physical. But, you know, I think the one thing that we have is a good group and a good mix of different players. So, you know, I thought Ball and Anderson, I know it's only been a couple, but I really like the pairing. I think they fed off each other. So we'll see it. Again, it's only two exhibition games, but we'll see how it goes in Vancouver.
Last one, and I don't want to because I know you're joining the boys on the morning show Tuesday morning, and that's going to kind of be like a season preview mm-hmm. piece. So I don't want to dive too much into that stuff. So I'll just leave you with this one. It was a question that Rob Kerr always would ask, whether it was Tree or Jay or whoever the case was, right before the start of a season. We asked you about, like, what excites you. What do you worry about? Like, what keeps you up at night as you move into your second season at the helm?
You know, I think it's a little bit, I don't think it keeps me up. I think it's the excitement to see what these guys can do together. You know, it's the uncertainty because we don't know. We don't know how the chemistry goes. You don't know who's going to play well together. You don't know how Hanzig or Klapko or Coronado or the goaltenders or the pairings are coming together. But, you know, I just think the overall excitement for me that you're like a little kid. You can't wait to get to that first game and start seeing all the hard work that everybody's done from your scouts, you know, to your hockey ops, to your development. I mean, there's so many people behind the scenes, you know, everybody in hockey ops upstairs. We're just excited to get going. And that's the thing. I think it's not, nothing keeps me up that makes me nervous. I'm actually, it's more just being excited to see, you know, I think it was a little bit, I wanted to see where the goalies were at. And I love the goalies, what they did in the preseason. That's the preseason. I get it.
Yeah.
Now we're going to see. But we have to be, you know, a little bit tighter. But what I loved the last game, I don't know if you know, I didn't usually, like with the NHL with all the stats, for whatever reason, I haven't been able to see, like, how many scoring chances they say. And I'm like, man, there wasn't many. But I asked Jamie Pringle, just how many did we give up the other night? Not many. You know, just a handful. So you're like, I like that. But we did make a couple egregious mistakes, leaving guys in front all by themselves. Those happen, but if we tidy those up, you know, you're excited to get started more than nervous.
Craig, you're always so generous with your time. Like, I've been sitting here wondering, did Pat at least pay for your Subway?
No.
I'll talk to him about that.
He came. I was already sat down.
So Craig walked in and said, one of these meatball subs must be for me. And you said, no, I'm going to have both of those.
He did. He was eating a lot. Like, he must have had a great workout. But it was the only two of us in the whole Subway.
It was not many.
And the young girl that was making the subs, that was it, just the three of us.
The sandwich artist got some great insight on the Calgary Flames, I'll say that much.
Yeah, you know, it's just, the hockey world's a small world. It's amazing. Like, you're thinking, what are the chances of just Pat walking in, you know, me and Pat in.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it was nice to catch up, and I hadn't seen him all summer. So it was, we really didn't talk. I know we kind of make it sound like we talked a lot about hockey. We actually said a couple things about hockey, and then we didn't talk about hockey at all.
It's true. And it was a cold cut trio, I believe, is what you went. Or maybe it was a BMT. I don't remember.
I went to BMT.
BMT, okay.
Yeah, I did go to the BMT.
thank you for doing this, Connie. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Craig Conroy, GM of the Calgary Flames, joining us here in studio at the Hot Stove Lounge here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. It's Flames Talk. It's the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.